A reading from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. A new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Chapter 14, Jesus comforts his disciples. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the place, you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Lord, in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Precious Father, would you please bless your word this morning and fill us with your joy. Amen. Some of you have probably heard me say how much I love the season of Advent. It is one of my favorite seasons in the church calendar. It is a season when we celebrate the incarnation, the coming of Christ into the world. It is also, of course, a season of Christmas. I mean, kind of goes without saying. And for many, it is full of music and lights and singing, filled with gorgeous food, the giving and receiving of gifts, and spending time with loved ones. And for us as Christians, it is also the time when the great light descended into a great darkness and decisively altered the course of all history for all creation, but especially for all of humanity. In this regard, then, the season of Advent is a great time to be considering our theme, our subject for reflection for this morning, heaven and a new creation. Now, wait for this, it's a bit of a mouthful. Life after death. And life after death. Did you get that? The setting for our gospel passage this morning is John chapter 14. And it is the night that Jesus is actually betrayed. He has been at supper with his friends, his disciples. And towards the end of chapter 13, Judas has gone out and is on his way to betray Jesus. So when Jesus was saying the words that we read in John chapter, that we heard read to us this morning from John chapter 14, indeed the words between John chapters 14 to 18, Jesus is already aware that in a matter of hours, he would be badly beaten, tortured, nailed to a cross and left to die, an excruciating death on the cross. And his disciples would be scattered all over Jerusalem, unable to return to their homes. Yet listen to how he begins John chapter 14, verses 1 to 2. Your hearts must not be troubled. I am going away to prepare a place for you. Now, these are either the words of a madman, or they are the words that point of a person who's conscious of a different kind of reality, one which transcends the laws of nature. And over the next few minutes, I want to pick out three brief points from this passage in John's Gospel, which I hope will be helpful for us as we contemplate today's subject. I believe in these passages we see a point of tension, a point of entry, and a point of experience. First one, a point of tension. Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to prepare a place for them, but it is a place that they cannot yet see. Where is this place, they ask. We don't know where you're going, says Thomas. So here we kind of see this tension the disciples are experiencing between what they hear Jesus saying to them, I am going to prepare a place for you, and what their senses are telling them. We do not know where you are going. And this, of course, is the case for much of humanity, because at some point or the other, we all ponder the question, well, what happens beyond this life? And we ask that question because a part of us anticipates that life is not simply a sum total of our organs and possessions. It is as though we sense or at least long for something more, something beyond. C.S. Lewis, in his masterful book, The Weight of Glory, writes these words. We do not want merely to see beauty. We want something else which can hardly be put into words. We want to be united with the beauty we see, to pass into it, to receive it into ourselves, to bathe in it, to become part of it. But at present, we are on the outside of the door, outside of the world, the wrong side of the door. We discern the freshness and purity of the morning, but they do not make us fresh and pure. We cannot mingle with the splendors that we see, but all the leaves of the New Testament are rustling with the rumor that it will not always be so. Someday, God willing, we shall get in. So we see this point of tension between where we are now and where we shall be afterwards. And each person, each of us, must resolve that tension somehow. And this then brings me to my second point, the point of entry. Some people come to the point of tension and arrive at a negative conclusion. Take, for example, the words of Bertrand Russell, the famous atheist. I believe that when I die, I shall rot, and nothing of my ego will survive. Yet in this passage from John's Gospel, Jesus offers us a different view. I am going to prepare a place for you, and I will come back to receive you to myself, so that where I am, you will be also. Jesus' words were put to the test as Jesus was publicly executed, crucified, and buried. Yet we know from the evidence of eyewitnesses that he came back to life after 3 days, appearing physically to many, even eating with them on a number of occasions. And thereby he demonstrates that there is life after death. But if there is life after death, surely the question is, how do we gain access to it? Well, in order to answer this question, I believe we must ask another question. How does life come about in the first place? Now, we don't have the time to delve into the details today, so forgive me for jumping to the conclusion. I would be happy to discuss if there are people who have questions. But of course, we have, like Will was saying earlier, in an Alpha course starting here in January, and that will provide plenty of room for people who have questions. But back to today. Where does life come from in the first place? Well, we Christians believe that life comes from God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the very opening words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in John chapter 1, from verse 3, it says this, all things were created through him, Christ, and in Christ was life, and that life was the light of humankind. All life, all creation comes from God. And if this is true, then the answer Jesus gives here makes perfect sense. Jesus says to Thomas, if you want to enter into eternal life, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. In other words, Jesus is saying here, I gave life the very first time, and I can give it again at any point. And in the New Testament, Jesus demonstrates this by raising people from the dead and himself ultimately rising from the dead. Jesus, brothers and sisters, is the point of entry into eternal life. And this brings me to my final point, the point of experience. You see, if it is true that Jesus is unending life in itself, then it must be the case, please follow me, that those who are in Jesus enter into eternal life, not in the future, but in the present. If Jesus is the source of eternal life, then those who are in Jesus enter into eternal life, not as a future proposition, but as a present reality. Sadly, of course, those who are outside of Christ itself, it means, experience death not as a future prospect, but even as a present reality. That's why the Bible says, if you are not in Christ, they are dead already. In regard to this question, therefore, what happens after death? I think the question is slightly misleading. Because while it is true that each of us will come to a point when our earthly bodies will finally fail, for those who have chosen Christ, we can already begin experiencing a foretaste of life after death. Listen to the words of Paul from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, from verse 16. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that far outweighs them all and will last forever. Brothers and sisters, if we are in Christ, the eternal kind of life is available to you and I now to begin experiencing. But I want to finish with just a thought for those for whom life currently feels very difficult and bitter. If that eternal life is available now, why are things so difficult? I can only stress that the answer in the end lies in God. You see, when we turn away from Christ, we slaughter hope at the altar of despair. But when we hold on through the pain, we follow in the steps of the one that has gone before us, Jesus. Let not your hearts be troubled, he says to us. And whatever you and I are going through this season, let not your heart be troubled. And through prayers and the reading of God's word, I would recommend very much reading 2 Corinthians chapters 3 to 5 if you want to grapple with this a little bit more. Ask God to draw you deeper into that eternal kind of life. Its principles are available. I have seen miracles. I have seen help for myself and many others. And that life is available now. And may Christ, the light and life of the world, step into your darkness and mine wherever we experience it today to bring us life and hope. Amen.